This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here's your top stories this Friday. Speaking of Friday, today's the last day of our year-end membership drive, meaning it's the last day for you to make your donation to Aspen Public Radio to be entered into our giveaway or have your dollars matched. Just go to aspenpublicradio.org to make your donation today. And now, the news. A warning for listeners, this first story does contain some graphic descriptions of sexual assault. Several Woody Creek residents urged the Aspen-Pitkin County Housing Authority to evict a convicted sex offender residing in their neighborhood. Back in 2019, Henry Forbes Henley pleaded guilty to felony second-degree assault. It stemmed from allegations that he restrained and choked a 16-year-old girl before sexually assaulting her. But he was arrested again at the end of October for allegedly violating probation. Henley allegedly drove recklessly with two teenagers in his vehicle, purchased alcohol for them, and offered a 14-year-old girl drugs, including Molly and ketamine. He lives in the Woody Creek Plaza neighborhood, where residents told the APSHA board they worry about their young children's safety. Samantha Purcell urged APSHA to evict Henley's residence in the deed-restricted home, where he lives with his parents.
To me, you know, living in an APSHA housing is a privilege, and there are a million reasons why someone can get kicked out for doing far less, as far as I'm concerned.
APSHA's hearing officer is reviewing a complaint made by one of the Woody Creek residents about Henley's residence. The hearing will take place on December 30th. This Saturday marks the third free book fair in Glenwood Springs. Aspen Public Radio's Sarah Torrey has more on how the organizers hope the event will boost literacy.
The idea came from four women in Glenwood Springs, longtime friends and members of the same book club. They love to read.
We feel like it is just a core part of life and part of who we are.
That's Caitlin Causey, one of the organizers. She says their goal in starting the book fair was to increase access to reading for all ages. Typically, book fairs take place in schools, and though they're reasonably priced,
there are some families who just don't have the extra to spend on books for a home library.
Numerous studies show the benefits of having access to books at home for kids, improving their social and emotional development, as well as their achievement in school and later in life. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Sarah Torrey.
The book fair takes place this Saturday from 12 to 5 p.m. at the Glenwood Springs Community Center. In arts and culture news, yesterday kicked off Aspen's 74th Winter Skull Celebrations. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz has more on new additions, as well as longstanding traditions.
Winter Skull is now held in December instead of January. Julia Hardman, the Aspen Chamber Resort Association Senior Director of Events, says this decision was made for the first time last year because they were losing traction on the event.
It was just a really tough time of year after the holidays and, you know, everyone's busy schedule. So with the lack of participation, it really just wasn't thriving anymore.
Hardman says the date change brought in much more participation last year at longstanding events like Soup School, as well as much newer ones like the Beer Festival, which will both take place this Saturday. When the event was in January, only five local restaurants agreed to participate in Winter School. But now that it's in December, over a dozen restaurants have signed on to the celebrations.
It was a big difference. People had time to breathe and time to process and be excited for Winter School to happen rather than feeling like, oh God, we're so exhausted from the holidays and now we got to drag ourselves back out there for another event. Really just feels good and digestible in December.
This year's festivities run until Sunday, but Hardman says plans for next year's 75th Winter School are already in the works. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
And Winter School events continue today in Snowmass Village. Winter Windows will return for its second season, and it's expanded from the Snowmass Mall to Snowmass Base Village. Roaring Fork Valley artists and designers were paired with businesses to create window displays that celebrate the winter season as well as the character of Snowmass. Viewline Snowmass will hold an awards ceremony for the winners in its lobby, where local photographer Tamara Sousa will celebrate the launch of her new photography book, Four Seasons in Snowmass. Snowmass Tourism Public Relations Manager Sarah Stuckey Sanchez says it showcases a decade of images, from the first dusting on the ridgelines to alpine meadows with wildflowers.
She has been working in this valley for a very long time, and just kind of seeing how she's evolved her art and evolved her photography has been fantastic. And this hard copy book, it is stunning. There have been coffee table books done on snowmass before, whereas this is like really dedicated photography. I haven't seen anything quite like this.
The Viewline Snowmass is also hosting their tree lighting ceremony in its front drive today. In other Winter Skull events, down in Bass Village, the Collective Snowmass is hosting a winter holiday market today and tomorrow, and an opening party for Slope and Hatch's new Up Valley location. In statewide news, hundreds gathered on the steps of the state capitol last week for a memorial service honoring State Senator Faith Winter, who died in a car crash last month. KUNC's Lucas Brady Woods reports.
Winter's family and friends were joined by state lawmakers, members of Congress, and a number of other current and former Colorado leaders. House Speaker Julie McCluskey and Senate President James Coleman presented Winter's father and sister with honorary Colorado flags. Governor Polis presented them to Winter's two children. In his speech, Polis said he knew Winter for nearly 20 years.
She knew that our state could be a better place, and she focused tirelessly on making it so. When Faith was on your team, she was a fierce ally, 100% committed to the cause and effective.
Speakers remembered Winter as an advocate for women's rights, paid family leave, and the environment. They also highlighted her work helping women run for office, both in Colorado and across the country.
That was Lucas Brady Woods reporting for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, national monuments don't just protect landscapes, they help keep drinking water clean for millions of people. But new research warns those protections could weaken under the Trump administration's efforts to redraw monument boundaries. The Mount West News Bureau's Kayla Bradel has more.
A new report from the Center for American Progress, a progressive think tank, says shrinking monument boundaries could remove safeguards from rivers that run through them. Rivers flowing through monuments like Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante feed major systems such as the Colorado River, which supplies water to many Mountain West communities. And many of those river miles lack other conservation protections, says co-author Drew McConville.
If the Trump administration were to decide to strip protections from these lands, they could be exposed to extractive development and all of the pollution and impacts that could come along with it.
McConville says small rural and tribal communities could be hit hardest, and that decisions about monument protections today may shape the region's water security for decades. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.